This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Ram fans, this is Ali Faroknesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Well, that's what Rams fans are looking forward to. You hear Ali Faroknesh there. They've turned the page. They're ready for basketball season. The Cowboys, on the other hand, whether they're ready for it or not, they're saying, hey, we're not done with this football season just yet. 4-4, 2-2 in the Mountain West, and they take back the boot. They do it pretty easily, too, 28-0. Cody said it on the show last week. He said the Cowboys are not losing this game. And Cody, you had to be feeling pretty good about this, I don't know, at kickoff, because Wyoming controlled the game pretty much throughout.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those, Brady, where you kind of thought if the Cowboys can get on them early, they might fold. And I don't know if necessarily CSU folded. I just think I think it's safe to say, man, the Cowboys just they always take this rivalry more seriously in so many ways. And it sure appears that way in a lot of cases. And I know CSU just went through a lot this week or last week, you know, losing their head coach and everything. But the Cowboys clearly wanted that. And they came off a really bad loss at Air Force, one that, you know, at the end of the year we could look back and say, damn it, if it wasn't for that game at Air Force.
Mm.
And, you know, they couldn't ask for, in my opinion, a better opponent to be playing the following week. And Cowboys were just ready, man. They were ready. And to steal a little quote from the SEC, it just means more up here, I think, than it does down there.
Cody, what do you think, man? I thought it was interesting timing. Like, I don't disagree with the Rams moving on from Jay Norvell. I think it was a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
I just felt like it was almost like, because I would say Jay Norvell gave you a better shot to win that game than Tyson Summers. That's not a knock on Tyson Summers. It's just we're changing everything we're doing in 1 week, basically, to get ready for this game. I kind of looked at it as, does the boot not mean that much to the Rams this year if they're making that move just 1 week ahead of one of, if not their biggest game of the year every year?
Yeah, 100%. I think you're dead on. And, you know, think about how many kids on that roster came to school to play for Jay Norvell. And you saw it on Twitter all week, all the love letters these guys were writing to Jay for bringing him to Fort Collins, and rightfully so. He's an unbelievably cool, great human being, and that's a shock to the system, right? I mean, I guess in my life, I've never been on a team where you lose your coach, period, let alone midseason, but I can't imagine it's easy, and you're just, especially a week ahead of what's supposed to be your biggest game of the year, I think it was a reaction from the brass that, hey, man, we just put more butts in the seats in Canvas Stadium than ever before and laid an egg like that against Hawaii in front of everybody. It's time. And I don't know that it was all that well thought out, to be honest with you. And I'm with you. It was a foregone conclusion, no question. But why not just ride it out? Is it going to help the coaching search to keep Jay Norvell there all year? I'm with you. I don't get it. I think CSU would have had a hell of a lot better chance if he was at the helm still.
Yeah, well, it was just crazy to me. And I get it, pressures and all that stuff. But I just don't know that things change. If let's say CSU did end up winning a game, which I'm not convinced that they would. I think Jay Norvell was certainly drowning. But I just can't imagine that was a move for the better. But for the Cowboys, scoring 28 points, man. I mean, that's huge for this team to be able to do that. And it just seemed like they didn't have to. Caden Anderson didn't have to do much, but he was efficient. And he had two touchdowns, no picks, which was big for him. And they were able to run the ball. I mean, a lot of dudes were sharing the load there, and they put up over 200 yards rushing.
Yeah, you know, I think getting off to a quick start was key. Like we kind of talked about, just getting off to that start, kind of letting CSU know that, you know, it's going to be a long day. And I think they did that with ease. I think Javon Bonite in his debut as Wyoming's play caller, I think he did a fantastic job just getting the ball in playmakers' hands. They really tried getting it to Chris Durr, and they also started Caden with some really easy, quick throws. it's kind of hard to believe, Brady. Three of his first four throws went for zero or minus yards. but they were, you know, they got him in a flow. They got him throwing the ball. They got him going. And he felt it the rest of the day. Yeah, he only threw for, like, what, 154 yards or whatever. But he was 15 of 18 to start this game. And getting Chris Durr involved, a guy who hasn't really been part of the game plan. And I thought that really stood out to me was, you know, Jalen Sargent was on the field for a majority of the offensive snaps, and so was Chris Durr. Got those guys involved really early. And we've been talking around here a lot lately, Brady, about the mass substitutions and how it just it seemed like every play was a hockey line change at Air Force last week. And this time around, the numbers bear out, the PFF numbers bear out that, hey, the top five wide receivers were on the field for the most of the time, and those other guys were on for three plays, four plays, five plays. And that's the way it should be. And you know what? You want to earn more reps and earn more playing time, you got to get it done in practice. And you shouldn't be sharing that many. I mean, Caden Anderson completed balls to 13 different receivers 2 weeks ago. And some might look at that and go, oh, that's a great thing. It's not a great thing. Nothing was in rhythm. And there's too many guys on the field. There's too many guys in and out of the huddle. And I thought that was really rectified this week by Bonite as well. And, you know, you saw some different things. Some run game from backup quarterback Landon Sims, which was huge. He scored the first touchdown of the game from a yard out. They threw an offensive guard, Caden Barnett, all 320 pounds of him in the offensive backfield as a lead blocker. Tyson Dean, a true freshman cornerback, had him playing wide receiver. I mean, there were some different wrinkles for sure, and it worked. It kind of went stagnant there in the fourth quarter. But, you know, I think that's kind of the way the game was going anyway, that, you know, it wasn't apparent that there it wasn't obvious they didn't need to score. So I think it kind of went with the way the game was flowing at the time. But other than that, Jay Sauvell simply said, we need a touchdown per quarter. And, touchdown in the first, two touchdowns in the second, and one in the third to really put this one away.
Right, and sometimes when you hear about these moves, when you're making the play call change or whatever, you know, good, bad, or ugly, I mean, sometimes you don't necessarily feel that change or see an obvious change. But in this case, it certainly felt like Javon Bonite, what he was doing and kind of working obviously hand-in-hand with Jay Sauvell in developing that offensive game plan, you certainly felt it on Saturday, no question.
I think you felt it, but also the unsung hero, like it is most of the time, is the offensive line. They were fantastic in this game. They didn't give up a single pressure. They didn't give up a sack. That CSU team blitzes nonstop, so you really have to be on your game. And something that really stuck out to me was a play that only went for 7 yards right before the Cowboys scored right before halftime. It was Landon Sims in the shotgun, and he called an audible at the line, and that was supposed to be a quarterback run. Instead, he called an audible and threw a quick little split screen out to Jalen Sargent, and he identified a safety coming off the right edge all by himself, and that would have been a loss. And instead, CSU finishes the day with 4 tackles for loss, no sacks, and no quarterback pressures, and that offensive line opened some massive holes, including just a beauty on that 37-yard touchdown run by Sam Scott. So the offensive line hasn't been terrible this year, but there's been like one guy will have an off series. One guy will have one play where he gets blown up and it blows up the entire series. And that was not the case at all. This was 5 for 5, everybody working in unison. And that says a lot because you got, you know, a guy like Braylon Jenkins only making his second start over there at right tackle. And you're moving guys in and out at left guard, and you're moving Rex Johnson over to the left tackle spot. So they really put it all together, and it was led by Jack Walsh and Caden Barnett, two seniors who are not going to leave this program with a loss to Colorado State.
Wow. Well, you bring him up. Let's learn more about this guy, Landon Sims. I'm glad you brought that play up because that was talked about on the broadcast too. But tell me about this dude.
You know, he's another guy who he tore two ACLs in junior college, and he's from down there in Alabama. He went to junior college in Mississippi. Kind of weird how they found him. He was on another recruiting trip somewhere in the area, and Jay Johnson sent him a text and, you know, said, hey, we'd be interested. So they were really looking for a guy who had some experience, and this guy had a little experience, and they brought him in, and he's just more, you know, he got in late in the Northern Iowa game and completed all three of his passes and showed he could run a little bit. And basically, they moved, you know, Evan Sabota was the guy who was taking these shotgun snaps and doing this wildcat stuff. And now they're bringing in Landon Sims, who also poses the threat to throw the ball. And he's just more fleet of foot. than Caden Anderson right now. And they saw all week. They tried him out this week or last week and saw that he had great vision and was finding the right holes. And they went with it. And, man, it looked good. And it also has the threat of throwing the football, which is, you know, Evan obviously was a quarterback last year, but now he's got a giant cowboy neck roll on. Mm-hmm. You know, he's pretty banged up. And obviously coming off a really bad game-changing throw 2 weeks ago at Colorado Springs. So I think the Landon Sims thing was a really nice wrinkle to add to this offense.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. How big of a win was that for Jay Sauvel? I mean, to not only win it like that, but to win it big, retain, keep, or bring the boot back in your last game in the Mountain West against CSU. I mean, I don't know if his seat was very hot, whatever that looks like to you, but it's either way you want to slice it, certainly cooled down quite a bit.
Yeah, to me, I mean, his seat wasn't necessarily hot anyway, but you lose that game, then you're talking.
Yeah.
You can't lose that game to that team in front of a sold-out crowd when they don't have a head coach. I mean, you just, that's why I was confident enough to tell you that last week that Wyoming was going to win that game. You just knew that they weren't going to let that happen. And like I said, you know, you couldn't ask for a better opponent coming off that disaster at Colorado Springs. I mean, if they were playing a New Mexico or a San Jose State next, they're probably not going to get up the way they got up for this one. But now the worry is, instead of letting two games beat you, now the worry is, you know, you got to put that one in the rear view as well. I mean, that is a really emotional game where, you know, the governor of Wyoming's in the locker room, Craig Bowles in the locker room, Marcus Harris, Ryan Yarbrough, two of the greatest players in Wyoming history, Andrew Peasley, Wyatt Whelan, all these guys. I mean, it is so important to come back, for alums to come back for the border war and to win the boot and to be in the locker room. I mean, I don't even know if Colorado's governor knows where Colorado State University is. And Wyoming's governor's partying in the locker room. That's when I say it just means more. It's a whole entire state versus the city of Fort Collins, I guess. It's so much more important here, in my opinion.
Well, and Cody, you know, I was talking to you about it last week. Like, hey, has the sizzle gone away? And for you and specifically Wyoming fans, like, no, it hasn't. The reason it went away for me is you know me. I want this game to be like the state of Colorado and the state of Wyoming. I want it to be a Super Bowl. I want it to be absolutely huge. So for me, who didn't go to either school but follows both, roots for both, I want it to be the best game it can possibly be. I did my picks on Friday, you know, based on a lot of our conversation, and I said that line is too small. I think Wyoming's going to easily win this thing. You can't convince me that Tyson Summers, who was just hired as a defensive coordinator in the offseason, is going to come in and change everything. So I guess for me, the sizzle was gone just because of the fact that you got one team in complete disarray, and then the other one's still trying to kind of find out who they are.
Yeah, well, and somebody who's in your situation, I wouldn't blame you. This game needs to start mattering in the grand scheme of things. It's always great for, you know, the Cowboys and their fans to win this game and to, you know, have those bragging rights when they go down to Fort Collins to eat and, you know, all that good stuff for an entire year. That's the good stuff, right? But this game has not mattered as far as the conference standings since probably 1996 when the Cowboys went down there and put together a 94-yard drive and beat Colorado State in Hughes Stadium to clinch a berth in the inaugural WAC title game. I mean, and if they would have lost, CSU would have been going to Vegas for that game against BYU. That's the last time that there was so much on the line. There's always a ton on the line, obviously, in this game, no matter what. But it needs to start mattering more. And it would be nice to see it be the last game of the year and be for all the marbles, just like it was in 1996. That was a really, really special game and a game that any true Wyoming fan is going to tell you they remember every single snap of. So, I could see an outsider, you know, like you who doesn't really have ties to either, being like, yeah, what's the luster of this thing going to be? I mean, both teams have losing records, all that. It always means something, but it needs to start meaning way more as far as postseason championships, those sort of things, which obviously now is in your rearview mirror because CSU is in the Mountain West Conference, or leaving the Mountain West Conference.
And now the Cowboys, you talked about it. If the Cowboys get that win last week, now the rest of the way, there's a lot to play for. We're going to be in November next time they play, going up against San Diego State. And that's looking to be a pretty darn good football team. But here the Cowboys sit, two wins away from getting to that bowl-eligible spot, but they're also not that far out of this thing just yet. I mean, we're getting down to it, but you got the two top teams in Boise State and San Diego State sitting at, they're undefeated at the top of the conference. But for Wyoming, two losses isn't crazy. If you go do something silly against San Diego State, who knows? You got quite a few games left here to figure this thing out.
Yeah, you look at it now on paper and you're like, Wyoming has maybe you could say one guaranteed win left, and that's when Josh Allen pays a visit to Laramie and gets his jersey retired against a Nevada team that, hasn't given up, but they just don't have the dogs. Other than that, you're talking about a trip to San Diego to play arguably the best defense in America. Then, you get a week off. Then you go play a Fresno State team who you just don't know what the hell to expect out of them. To give up 49 against Colorado, that Colorado State
yeah.
team, that quarterback is stunning after watching what I saw last Saturday. And then to get blanked at home by San Diego State, it's just you don't know what to expect out of that. And then you go to Hawaii, which is always the brutal trip that it just hasn't been kind to the Cowboys, and it hasn't been kind to a lot of teams in the conference for a lot of years. That's a really tough trip, and Wyoming traditionally hasn't played well in San Diego. They've pulled off a couple in Fresno, but if they want to start talking, and Coach Sauvel keeps talking about it, this season could still be very special. But to be very special, they need a little help, and they need to win out. And it's way easier said than done, but it would go a long way this week if those mighty New Mexico Lobos could find a way to win in Las Vegas. That would really help. But the Cowboys just flat out need to take care of business.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They'll need some help too. But if you can get this one somehow, the Aztecs, I believe, are a 9.5-point favorite in this one,
yeah.
Cody.
Yeah.
But if you get this one, certainly, even no matter what happens outside of your control, the trajectory, it'll certainly feel like you're on a positive path with Jay Sauvel in this Cowboys team.
Yeah, and the other thing, I know people don't really want to talk about it because it's in the heat of the season right now, but I mean, this staff has been incredible when it comes to recruiting. I believe 6-7 true freshmen have already played this year and are making an impact. They're playing impactful minutes for the Cowboys. And not to mention, look at what they did in the transfer portal. They went with the Kenny Dillingham model and went and got guys with a chip on their shoulder who wanted to play for the University of Wyoming. And that's a Braden Johnson out of Oklahoma Baptist. That's an Ethan Stolsatz out of Lindenwood. That's a Justin Taylor out of Wisconsin. That defense, if it wasn't for San Diego State, Wyoming is leading the way defensively with 10 new faces, most of which, and Anish Bias came from Bucknell. And Adansis Miller comes from Mercer. Guys like that, they did a fantastic job in the transfer portal, and they're recruiting. And I think they're taking advantage of the fact that big schools are focused on the transfer portal, and they're not messing with high school kids as much anymore. Wyoming still is. And a lot of guys, Samuel Toad Harris, Kyle Frent, guys like that are playing, and they're starting, and they're playing meaningful minutes already for this team.
Turning the page for basketball on the CSU side of things, but for football, 5 o'clock, November 1st, CBS Sports Network. I'm there, Cody. I'm all there, man. Let's go Cowboys. Let's do something with this season.
Yeah, I'm taking my 3-year-old to San Diego, so pray for me.
Yeah, good luck to you, man. She's your kid too, so the two of you. I mean, I can't imagine what you guys are going to get up to.
It's scary. It is truly terrifying. So,
Cody,
thank God my mom's coming to baby.
I always appreciate you, man, and your insight you can give us with this Cowboys team. Do they win? They pull it off? No tweets coming on this one, Cody. Last week we needed it, but
I could see it kind of being a muddied up 17-13 kind of deal. I just Wyoming's just traditionally played so poorly there, and it's homecoming, and Sean Lewis is expecting a sellout and all that good stuff. So. Lot going against the Cowboys right here against a team that's won 5 straight. But, I could see the Aztecs probably pulling off something like a 17-13. But on the flip side, I think the Cowboys could pull off a 17-13 just as quick.
I'll see what happens, man. I'm excited for it. Cody, appreciate it, man. We'll check out the latest pregame information, anything throughout the week at 7220sports.com.
Right on, brother. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Cody Tucker, excellent work by him as always. Yeah, football-wise, CSU's off this weekend anyway, so I'm gonna get into this. Let's go Wyoming. 9.5-point dogs against the Aztecs. Did the offense wake up? Did Javon Bonight you know, give this team the spark that they needed? I guess we'll find out. 12:42 the time. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.